Welcome to the Ordinary Extraordinary Cemetery, where every death had a life and every life had a story. My name is Jenny Johnson.
Hello, and I'm Diane Hartshorn. Today we are talking about a cemetery that is near and dear to my heart, and that is Evergreen Cemetery in Colorado Springs, Colorado. 20 years ago, because of deep concerns at Fairview Cemetery, I contacted Will DeBoer, the manager at the time, to discuss why the city was not caring for its cemetery and for the gravesites of those who created the city we love today. He explained the policies of the city and the position Evergreen and Fairview cemeteries are in because they are known as what is city enterprises. As an enterprise, Evergreen and Fairview cemeteries do not receive any money from the city's general fund. The only money the cemetery receives is through the purchase of gravesites. All funding for repairs and restoration is through fundraising events and individual donations. The city has never been responsible for the gravesites. When a person purchases a gravesite, the families have purchased, in essence, the right to burial, and it is their responsibility to care for their family's headstones, following city ordinances put in place to maintain the cemetery for everyone.
This, in truth, is quite common in most cemeteries around the country. Some do offer what is called perpetual care, but that usually only covers the cost of maintaining the grounds, such as mowing the grass, keeping the trails maintained, watering, etc. Occasionally, it will cover the cost of repairing fallen or sunken tombstones, but not always. It is nearly always the responsibility of the family to maintain the actual gravesite of a loved one. However, in many of the oldest cemeteries, the families have either died out or moved out of the area. Care of these sites happens only when those like Diane step in and find ways to help care for and preserve them.
2021 is the sesquicentennial. I hope I said that right, meaning the 150th anniversary of the founding of Colorado Springs. And Evergreen Cemetery was founded within like the first 3 or 4 years after that. So it's almost 150 years old too. Today, we will travel back to 1871 and tell the tale of how they came to be. As we learned in past episodes, every new community has a plan for a place for its dead. Colorado Springs was no different. The story of Colorado Springs begins much the same way as many other towns of the West, but it doesn't take many years for it to undergo a transformation that will set it apart from many other frontier communities.
Before the westward expansion of settlers from the East, the land that surrounds what we call Pike's Peak and its sister peaks was occupied by the Ute, Cheyenne, and Arapaho peoples. In the 1700s, both the Spanish and the French explored the area and marked their presences with their flags. But it wasn't until 1859 that permanent settlements of Anglo-Americans and European immigrants began to pop up in the Colorado Territory.
In 1859, Colorado City was founded as a supply town catering to those who were traveling up Ute Pass to search for gold in the western Rocky Mountains of the Colorado Territory. It was a typical Western town with more than 20 saloons, gaming parlors, and brothels. Colorado City was the Pikes Peak region's hub for farmers, ranchers, freighters, and outfitters, all working to make a living off those in a hurry to make their fortunes in gold. Of course, a cemetery had to be established. The first cemetery was said to be located along the hogbacks looking over the city. However, the ground was too hard for digging, and there was still the possibility of Native American attacks, so the cemetery was moved to the bluffs about 26th Street. Again, the soil was too rocky for burials, and so once more the cemetery was relocated adjacent to what would become the Denver and Rio Grande Railroad. It was called at this time the El Paso County Cemetery. By the time Colorado Springs was settled, this new location was home to between 200 and 300 of the area's dead.
In 1886, the Colorado Midland Railroad was established and headquartered in this town of the West. It was one of Colorado's largest employers at the time. A glassworks was established in 1887 by Adolph Busch, Jerome Wheeler, and General Adams. Bottles were made for the Manitou mineral water, local liquor, and wine by Bohemian glassblowers. Anheuser-Busch, Mayor Charles Stockbridge, and others bottled beer in Colorado City at the turn of the century. When gold was discovered in 1891 at Cripple Creek, prosperity came to the city from the four gold ore reduction mills operating in Colorado City. However, before either the railroad or the glassworks were established, a man by the name of General William Jackson Palmer visited the area in 1869 and fell head over heels in love with the majestic beauty of the Rocky Mountains and the lush plains surrounding them. In his words, "It is a most enticing scenery."
General Palmer was a hero of the Civil War who traveled west from Pennsylvania seeking opportunity beyond the war-ravaged regions of the eastern states of the U.S. He decided on that first visit that the area should be transformed into a resort for the wealthy to renew their health and minds. 1 year later, in 1870, he founded the Denver and Rio Grande Railroad and purchased land to build his resort along its route. In 1871, this land was named Colorado Springs, and General Palmer's vision was becoming an iconic reality. One thing that was not working for General Palmer was the location of the El Paso County Cemetery. I can imagine him saying, "Let there be a cemetery, just not next to my train depot."
Those words are most likely apocryphal, but it is very likely that General Palmer pushed for the cemetery to be relocated once again. When you are marketing your new town as a health resort, it does not make for good advertising to have the cemetery as the first thing potential guests see upon arrival from the train depot. Over time, General Palmer would deed 220 acres of land that would become the Evergreen Cemetery. It was moved from near the train depot to the base of Mount Washington. The location was a perfect choice as it was on the outskirts of town, there was plenty of land for expansion, and there were already some early pioneer graves there. It also commanded an amazing view of Pikes Peak and other mountains to the west.
Not only was the cemetery relocated many times, but it changed names almost as often. When it was moved to its current location, it was renamed Mount Washington Cemetery. For a time, it was also called Mountain Home Cemetery. It became official Colorado Springs property in 1875. The city council voted to rename it to Evergreen Cemetery, and that is what it is called to this day.
During this time, Colorado City remained a Wild West town, but the town of Colorado Springs was never part of the Wild Frontier. It was a town that catered to the wealthy. They would travel miles to spend the summer hiking, taking in abundant fresh air and sunshine, and bathing in the nearby mineral waters. Both communities thrived in this way until 1891, when gold was discovered just west of Pikes Peak in Cripple Creek. This gold boom caused many millionaires to build homes in Colorado Springs, and the community was more prosperous than ever. For a time, they say the city had more millionaires per capita than any other place in the country.
Due to the town's wealth and prosperity, when the cemetery was moved to Mount Washington, it was decided that it should be more than just a plot full of headstones. Just as General Palmer had carefully planned the layout of Colorado Springs, he did the same with the newly relocated cemetery. He hired John Blair, a landscape gardener, who began life in Scotland, but came to America as a young man, where he settled in Chicago and helped to design many of the city's parks and private estates. Many of these are still in existence today.
John Blair was well known for incorporating the natural landscapes of the areas he designed. Evergreen Cemetery was being developed during the rural cemetery movement and is often considered one of the area's first parks. Blair incorporated the towering pine trees as well as the rolling hills in his design. Many of the older sections included walkways allowing for peaceful contemplation or quiet conversation as you strolled among the graves.
There are many notable people buried in Evergreen Cemetery. Of course, General William Jackson Palmer is among them. He is buried in a raised plot that is surrounded by a low stone wall. In the center of the plot is a rough-shaped stone with a metal plate that reads, "William Jackson Palmer, Medal of Honor, Brigadier General, 5th Pennsylvania Cavalry, Civil War, September 17th, 1836 to March 13th, 1909. In addition to being a Civil War hero and founder of Colorado Springs, General Palmer and his business partner, William Andrew Bell, are credited with introducing the practice of burning coal as fuel to the U.S. He helped to fund institutions of higher learning and a hospital for tuberculosis patients. He married Mary Lincoln Mellon, nicknamed Queen, on November 7, 1870. They had three daughters, but due to her frail health, Queen only lived in Colorado until 1885, at which time she went back east. In 1887, she moved to England permanently. The general visited her often until her death on December 27, 1894. She was only 44 years old.
Another notable burial is that of Francis Henry Maynard, better known as Frank H. Maynard. Frank was a cowboy turned poet later in life. He was born in Iowa City, Iowa in 1853. As a young man, he had many adventures as a cowboy. He joined buffalo hunts, herded cattle from Kansas to Texas, and had a near life-threatening quarrel with another cowboy. At the age of 27, he married and settled down in Colorado Springs as a carpenter. Here he led a good life, but he never forgot his days on the range. He had become friends with cowboy legends Buffalo Bill Cody and Wyatt Earp. He was also a gifted storyteller and often held audiences captive with his stories of being a Wild West cowboy. Around 1876, Frank began to rework an old poem called The Cowboy's Lament. And with the encouragement of friend and author Jack London, this soon turned into one of the most popular cowboy songs of all time and was renamed Streets of Laredo. As I walked out on the streets of Laredo, as I walked out on Laredo one day, I spied a poor cowboy wrapped in white linen as cold as the day.
I can see by your outfit that you are a cowboy. These words he did say as I boldly walked by. Come and sit down beside me and hear my sad story. I'm shot in the breast and I know I must die.
It was once in the saddle I used to go dashing. Once in the saddle I used to go gay. First to the card house and then down to Roses. But I'm shot in the breast and I'm dying today.
Get six jolly cowboys to carry my coffin. Six dance hall maidens to bear up my pall. There are bunches of roses all over my coffin, roses to deaden the clods as they fall. That is just a portion of the entire poem, but it resonated with all those who have spent their lives, some short and others long, in the wild, wild west. Frank Maynard died on the 28th of March, 1926, at the age of 72. He shares a simple headstone with his wife. There are daisies etched into each of the upper corners. The stone says only this: Maynard, Francis H., 1853 to 1926, Flora V., 1860 to 1931.
Also buried in Evergreen Cemetery is Reverend Sherman Coolidge. It is believed Sherman was born sometime in 1862 near Goose Creek on the Wind River area of Wyoming. His parents were Arapaho and gave their son the name of Runs on Top. Sadly, his father was killed when he was just 7 years old by members of another tribe as they were stealing horses from the Arapaho. His mother was able to escape and hide with both himself and his younger brother.
Several months later, their tribe was once again attacked, this time by both the Bannocks and the Shoshones, who were working together. Once again, their mother escaped, but the two boys were captured. The time spent among the Shoshones was one of misery and drudgeries for the boys. Eventually, American troops rescued the boys and allowed their adoption by separate white family by year's end. Lieutenant Charles A. Coolidge and his wife Sophie Wagner, Lowry Coolidge, adopted Runs on Top. Runs on Top was renamed William Tecumseh Sherman in honor of the Union general. They called him Sherman for short.
Sherman was educated in Euro-American customs and was baptized into the Episcopal Church at the age of 9. He attended Shattuck Military School in Faribault, Minnesota from 1877 to 1880. Here he was an exemplary student and consistently ranked in the upper quarter of his class. In 1880, Sherman enrolled in the Seabury Divinity School, a seminary of the Episcopal Church located in Evanston, Illinois, where he graduated with a Bachelor of Divinity degree in 1884 and was ordained as a deacon of the Episcopal Church. In 1884, Sherman returned to the West as an Episcopal missionary. He is quoted as saying, "My people have never heard of the Savior. If possible, I would like to become a minister and go back to tell my kinsmen of the love of Jesus Christ." By the time Sherman began his missionary work, both the Shoshone and Arapaho tribes had been forced to live together on the same reservation. They had to make peace with each other in order to confront the issues faced in dealing with the white American government. When Sherman got to the reservation, he became known amongst the natives as the White Arapaho.
Sherman would spend 26 years attempting to convert the natives on the Wyoming reservation to Christianity with little success. While living among them, he also took on multiple roles on the Wren River as schoolteacher, priest, government clerk, and unelected mediator. Eventually, he was forced out of the reservation as he was seen as a traitor to the native peoples to whom he had belonged as a young boy. He eventually married a white woman and in 1919 relocated to Colorado, where Sherman became canon at the Cathedral of St. John of the Wilderness in Denver. Throughout the following decade, he continued to be active in Native rights causes. The culmination of his career came in 1923 when he served on the Committee of 100, chosen by Secretary of the Interior Herbert W. Work to investigate conditions on reservations and report on the challenges facing Indigenous people in the United States. Sherman Coolidge met with President Coolidge in December of that year. Back in Denver, the Arapaho priest established himself as a beloved figure. His unexpected death at approximately age 72 on January 24, 1932, during a stay in Los Angeles caused great mourning. He was buried in Evergreen Cemetery in Colorado Springs.
Though many scholars today would rightly look askance at his assimilationist projects, Coolidge's ideal of intertribal peace and solidarity through the panacea of Christianity remains compelling in the context of his childhood of extreme violence and unfathomable trauma. The Reverend Coolidge's grave is marked by a Celtic cross made of stone. The base underneath is inscribed, "In loving memory of Sherman Coolidge, January 24, 1932, aged 69 years."
From its inception as a rural cemetery park, Evergreen Cemetery has been admired for its beauty. In 1929, an article in the Gazette Telegraph spoke of its towering trees and how the bereaved families would choose to place their loved ones beneath them. Before the cemetery was fenced in, there were enclosures around the individual graves to keep the cattle out.
Perhaps Forrest P. Porter describes Evergreen best in this 1996 poem. "Under the towering mountain peak, in the land where I was born, leave me to lie in the gloaming, face the bright new morn.
Lay me down in the ground, deep down, in my final bed. Let me lie where the great peak rises, towering above my head.
Here leave me in final slumber, under the wind-tossed grass. Let me lie asleep and dreaming, till eternity comes to pass."
Thank you once again for joining us today. I am so glad we got to talk about one of the cemeteries I am most passionate about. There are so many more stories we look forward to sharing with you that come from Evergreen Cemetery, as well as Colorado Springs' other historic cemetery, Fairview. There's so much history in both cemeteries that there is no way to fit it all in one short episode.
I am very much looking forward to future episodes on both. We featured Evergreen Cemetery in this episode for a very important reason. Diane, would you like to tell our listeners how they can help Evergreen this year?
Well, this year, with the celebration, the 150th celebration in 2021, Evergreen Heritage actually has created a calendar as a fundraiser this year to help offset the cancellation of the main fundraisers due to COVID this year. So to be able to find information about this calendar, you can go to www.evergreenheritagecs.com.
We have also included a link for the calendars on our website, as well as on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter accounts. Our website is www.theordinaryextraordinarycemetery.com, or you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Ordinary Extraordinary Cemetery, and on Twitter at Ord Extra Sim. So it's ORDEXTRACEM. You can also email us to request information at ordinaryextraordinarycemetery@gmail.com. Also, we would really love if you would leave us a positive review on Apple Podcasts or on our website. And if you truly enjoy this podcast, please consider sharing it with just one friend or family member who will love it too. Or share it with everybody you know.
We would also like to wish all of our American listeners a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. And to all of our listeners worldwide, stay safe and healthy until we meet again.